and sleep there. Tomorrow we're leaving for the weekend. Her heart started a rapid ascent and her breathing quickened.
Leaving?
She stood again, her head spun. A weekend away. A honeymoon. We need to...
On some level, she knew Hunter was still talking, but Gabby's head soared to a completely different time. Different place.
A weekend away. I need to make up to you all the time I've been away.
Alonzo stood beside her, his smile genuine.
I want to reconnect with my fiancé.
She kissed him, knowing the staff wasn't anywhere close, and he wouldn't object. Her stomach twisted, and an all-too-familiar rush washed over her. Hot. Needy. More. Please. Gabby felt the pinch of her skin, felt the drug take hold, and she hit the ground. Hunter dropped the glass in his hand, jumped over the table, and still only managed to catch Gabby a few inches before she hit the floor.
Gabby?
She was out. Her eyes rolled back, her face pale.
Andrew?
He lifted her onto the couch, careful with her head.
Andrew!
He yelled. Half-dressed, Andrew rushed into the room.
What happened? Cold washcloth.
Andrew fled to fill his request. He was an ass. He'd scared her with a few words. The strong woman he'd seen traversing the room all night couldn't possibly be the same one passed out in his arms. Hunter felt three shades of awful. Andrew emerged, thrust a cold washcloth into his hands. Hunter ran it over Gabby's forehead.
Come on, wake up.
They both hovered over her. Andrew started to squirm.
Should I call 911?
Hunter placed his fingers to her throat, felt a steady, albeit rapid, pulse, and shook his head.
Gabby, wake up.
He leaned his head close to hers, felt her breath on his cheek.
Please.
He was a breath away from telling Andrew to call when she started to stir. Hunter dropped his forehead to hers, all the energy he'd placed in his anger diffused. Her eyes fluttered open, but the blank look beyond her eyes told Hunter she was still lost. The moment fear entered her gaze, Hunter drew his frame back, but kept his hands on her shoulders to keep her from jumping again.
Are you okay?
Her nose flared as she attempted to draw in a deep breath. Gabby looked beyond him to Andrew and blinked. What happened?
You passed out.
Her lower lip started to tremble. She kept looking between the two of them as if uncertain what had happened. Her voice wavered. Can I get a glass of water? Andrew didn't hesitate. Hunter softly stroked her bare shoulders and waited for her color to return. When Andrew returned, Hunter helped her sit. She took the water and closed her eyes when she drank it. Thank you, she managed.
Can I get you anything, Mrs. Blackwell?
No, Andrew, I'm sorry to worry you. Hunter ignored the look of concern on Andrew's face as he disappeared around the corner. Gabby set the glass aside and attempted a smile.
Are you sure you're all right?
She shook her head. No. No, I'm not. She pushed away from him and his hand fell from her shoulder. I won't go anywhere alone with you, Hunter. Not yet, anyway. All this was because she feared being alone with him?
I gave you my word I wouldn't hurt you.
I want to believe you.
Then do.
It's not that simple. My head tells me that lightning won't strike twice, but there's no guarantee. She was shaking again, and Hunter had a strong desire to pull her into his arms.
What lightning is that? What did he do to you?
Doubt filled her face. I can't. I'm sorry.
Stop apologizing, Gabby. We're in this for the next year and a half. How am I going to know what words to be careful of using if you don't tell me what happened?
The words were there, hanging between them. Her dark eyes searched his. Why did you need to get married? So this was how it was going to go. Give to get. He offered a crumb.
My brother has resurfaced.
Confusion marred her brow.
My twin. Word is he's posing as me.
Again. So I'm a built-in alibi? Hunter shook his head, not willing to give more without a few answers from her.
What did he do to you, Gabby?
She paused, swallowed hard. He used me. Shred my dignity. Not happy with her ambiguous answer, he asked.
How?
He pretended to love me and used my brother's island to traffic drugs. Her face lost color again.
Auntie hurt you?
It wasn't a question. She nodded and looked away. There was more to her story, but he didn't push. He took a chance and gathered her hands into his.
I'm not him, Gabby. Arguably, I am using you, but you know the score. And in the end, we will use each other. I don't trust easily either. My brother is only part of why I needed a bride.
What else?
It was Hunter's turn to divert the conversation.
Are you ready to tell me the whole story behind your late husband?
She winced. That's what he thought.
We both have our secrets. Maybe in time we can share them. For now, I need you to trust that I won't hurt you. I won't let anyone else harm you either.
I still can't leave with you. His mind scrambled.
What if you picked where? I need the world to know we're married. If we don't escape for even a few days, there will be some who guess the truth.
Her eyes traveled to the ceiling as if it held the answers. I haven't been home more than overnight since... She struggled for words. Since Alonzo's death.
Your brother's island?
Yes.
Jaw dropping, he said,
You want me to willingly go to your brother's world? The man threatened my life.
For the first time since she fainted, Gabby offered a tiny smile. Hunter's blood warmed. Only if you hurt me, and since you're not going to do that, you don't have to worry.
He was still holding her hands when she squeezed them.
The Florida Keys?
She nodded. How bad could it be?
Okay.
Chapter 12.
Somewhere over Texas, enjoying his second mid-flight drink, there was no way in hell he was doing the Keys completely sober. Hunter stretched his feet out in front of him and interrupted Gabby as she thumbed through the pages of a book.
I'm growing on you, he said,
as if they were in the middle of a conversation. She glanced over without lifting her head, then returned her eyes to the book.
Don't flatter yourself.
You haven't told me to jump in front of a bus for at least 24 hours.
A ghost of a smile appeared and quickly fell away.
I can't exactly wish your pilot to plunge to the earth while I'm on the plane, now can I?
You didn't poison my breakfast.
Hunter emerged from his morning shower to the scent of food cooking in the kitchen. Considering neither he nor Andrew could fry an egg, it was amazing to find Gabby dishing up oatmeal pancakes and scrambled eggs for the three of them. She flipped a page.
I'm rather fond of Andrew. Nice man. Not sure what crime he committed to be working for you.
I'm growing on you, he declared again.
She grunted, kept reading.
You kissed me?
She dropped her hands holding the book and gave him her complete attention.
Your ego is monstrous,
he shrugged.
True, but you did willingly place your lips on mine.
It was the wine.
She picked her book back up, shifted in her seat.
You had one glass the entire night.
Your guests expected it. I delivered. Get over yourself, Hunter. On my brother's island, no one will expect anything.
Gabby had explained the privacy of Sapore di Amore. Cell phones weren't allowed, though Hunter had no intention of turning his over. The island was the Vegas of the Florida Keys. What happened on Sapore stayed on Sapore. The exclusivity of the guest list and the screening that went into every guest assured privacy so that playboys could play and wives could cheat. According to Gabby, about half the guests were there for private trysts, and the other half simply wanted privacy. No paparazzi, and celebrities avoided fans bothering them for pictures every second of their stay.
And I had two glasses,
Gabby's declaration brought Hunter back into their conversation. He thought of her odd reaction to him, handing her the champagne, and had to ask,
Why the switch of the glasses?
The muscles on her arms tightened.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
She didn't answer.
Instead, she asked a question.
Why do you hate your brother?
I don't hate Noah.
His name is Noah? Noah and Hunter? Interesting.
Their names had always been the oxymoron of his life.
Why the switch of the glasses, Gabby?
She dipped her head into her book and hesitated.
He slipped drugs into my wine.
Holy hell. She didn't have to elaborate on who he was.
That's sick.
She turned the page much too quickly.
That's an insult to those who are ill. He knew what he was doing.
She muttered something in Italian, shook her head.
One step forward, Hunter mused. He asked a direct question, gave one answer in return. Maybe they could make it a year and a half after all. She flipped a page. Remind me to show you where to cliff dive on the island.
It was his turn to grin. Shark-infested waters.
She smiled, offered a noncommittal shrug. Never know. Gabby had only been on the island for Val and Meg's wedding. She couldn't stomach more. Her therapist told her it was completely normal to associate the island with the man who betrayed her. Most of their time together was on Sapore. During Gabby's previous visit, she asked to stay in a bungalow. Not willing to walk into the private rooms she called hers, the rooms she had shared with him. It killed her that Alonzo had taken away her home. The safe place she should always feel free to return to was destroyed by a dead man. Maybe, just maybe, this time would be different. But as Hunter's pilot called back into the cabin, asking them to take their seats and prepare to land, Gabby felt her palms sweat. How did palms sweat, anyway? There weren't any glands in them to speak of. Hunter moved from the plush, full-size couch he'd been lounging on most of the flight to the seat beside her. He gathered her hand and squeezed. As much as she wanted to shake him off, she couldn't. And for some reason, that brought a wave of emotion over her.
When was the last time you were here? He asked.
Early spring, when my brother married. He looked over her to the sea below.
You spent time here with him, didn't you?
She offered a nod, felt words clogging in her throat. Hunter was alone in his thoughts for a moment.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Anything is possible, she told him. The plane started its descent. Her ears popped. Would Alonzo's spirit be on the island, along with her memories?
I'm not one to give up control in my life, Gabriella, but I want you to know, here on this island, if you need me to do anything for you, I will.
She knew his declaration was rare. She squeezed his hand.
Maybe not the cliff dive, but other than that.
Laughter bubbled. She couldn't help it. You said anything.
I might have you taste all my food before I eat it.
Happy to. Val's chef is beyond this world.
I look forward to it. I couldn't tell you the last time I took a vacation.
Too busy moving your money around the Monopoly board?
More like the game of Risk.
Hunter's personal flight attendant walked toward them. We're clear to land, Mr. Blackwell. The plane bounced, then glided along the pavement. Hunter's distraction took away the anxiety that rested in her bones since they'd taken off. She stood and eased the lines in her pants with the palms of her hands. Hunter waited, patiently. She fisted her clutch in her hands, knew the staff would deliver their luggage at some point. The flight attendant opened the hatch, bringing in a wave of moist Caribbean heat. The pilot walked through the narrow door from the cockpit.
I hope your flight was enjoyable, he told them.
Perfect, Gabby told him. Hunter lifted his hand.
Wait on my earlier request.
The pilot offered a nod and stood back as they exited the plane. Most days, the Florida Keys held cloudy skies, hot with the occasional sprinkle, but today was pleasantly clear, giving the air a little less humidity than Gabby expected. Hunter hesitated at the door, made a show of looking out.
Doesn't look like anyone is carrying a rifle.
Gabby clasped his hand and dragged him out of his world and into hers. Val stood between her mother and Meg. His back was rod straight, his suit perfectly pressed. Meg offered an enthusiastic wave, her sundress blowing behind her, her short blonde locks hardly contained by the clip in her hair. Her mother watched, first with watchful eyes on Hunter, that seemed to travel slowly between them and then back. Those narrow eyes filled and a smile emerged. With open arms, Gabby let loose Hunter's hand and ran into the embrace of her mother. I've missed you, Gabby said in Italian.
You're too thin,
her mother said with little malice. Val stood to the side, his eyes never leaving Hunter, while Meg moved in for the next hug. Hey, you. Look at this tan. You look amazing.
Good food, great sex.
Gabby's mother clicked her tongue before Meg could say the word sex, and they both started to laugh.
Grandbabies, Simona. Grandbabies.
Stop seeing that doctor and taking those little pink pills. Then you can talk about your sex life.
Gabby wondered if Hunter was getting any of their conversation. She turned, found him in a staring contest with her brother.
Gabby broke it off, pushing herself between their lines of sight.
No kiss for your sister?
Val blinked her way, his face softened.
I'm pleased you're here, even with that bastard.
His words were in Italian.
He's not that bad,
she found herself defending in their first language.
Val grumbled. Welcome to Sapore di Amore, Mr. Blackwell.
Meg was quick with the agreeable conversation.
Hunter, I'd like you to meet my mother, Simona Massini.
I feel as if I know you after our conversation on the phone.
Phone? What? You two have talked? Hunter offered a grin.
We came to an understanding.
She attempted to gain her mother's attention and failed.
I see where Gabby acquired her thoughtful eyes.
Another man might say, good looks, beauty. No. Hunter went with the eyes, the one feature she and her mother shared without a shadow of a doubt. Val stepped in, obviously uncomfortable.
I'm sure my sister has informed you of the rules of the island.
He lifted his hand, palm up.
Your phone, Blackwell.
Gabby wasn't sure how this was going to go, one alpha male to the other.
I'm here for Gabby, Hunter said. Nothing else.
Val kept his hand extended. Gabby turned to her temporary husband.
Trust needs to be earned. Please?
His gaze shifted. He fished his phone out of the inside pocket of his suit and handed it over.
If the name's Tiffany or Bridget Flash, I need to know.
Meg huffed.
His secretaries,
Gabby found herself defending him a second time. That seemed to relieve Meg's posture.
Fair enough.
Her brother pocketed the phone and glanced toward the plane.
I assume you've made provisions for your pilot and staff in Miami? I have.
Hunter stood closer.
I'd like you to consider them staying here. That's out of the question.
Val's firm response was short of aggressive. Gabby felt the power play and couldn't help but question Hunter's intentions.
Hunter pushed his shoulders back, and all amusement left his lips. The move was powerful, and the reason many men cowered in his presence.
The ghosts of Gabby's past are here, Mr. Massini. If at any time during our stay she needs to flee, I'm going to help her do so without delay. We can both agree that having my pilot and plane here would expedite that.
Val clearly wasn't expecting that answer. The thought of pushing Hunter off the cliff, which actually didn't house sharks, drifted. Val held firm.
I'll have my helicopter and pilot here on standby.
Hunter offered a slight nod.
I'll send my staff on, then.
A breath escaped. I hope you like pasta, Mr. Blackwell,
Gabby's mother said as she led them away from the island tarmac.
Please call me Hunter.
We're still a long way from first names.
Gabby's mother dismissed him with a wave.
Chapter 13.
The mental scoreboard in Hunter's head was plunged toward the murky depths of hell. Valentino hated him. His dark, watchful gaze and short tone didn't need definition. Margaret, or Meg, as Gabby referred to her sister-in-law, was close to impossible to read. From her words and watchful gaze, Hunter knew she'd be happy to see him gone. And Gabby's mom? Forget it. The woman told him repeatedly that he wasn't good enough for her daughter.
You don't speak Italian. What's wrong with you? Why go through all the effort to marry my daughter and not know her language? Call me Mrs. Massini. First names are for friends and family. And right now, you're neither.
Hunter's head swam with the woman's insults. For one brief moment, he wanted to remind the lady about his net worth, but knew she didn't give a crap about his bank balance. Gabby was the woman's concern. The strange twist was Gabriella herself. She let her family deliver their verbal punches for a few hits, and then diverted the conversation. Gabby didn't deny, nor did she agree. She listened and diverted. He might be able to eat while on the island after all. They'd taken residence in the special guest villa beside Val's main residence. Gabby had suggested they have their own space. At first, he thought maybe she was saving him from a 24-hour inquisition of her family. But as it stood, he realized Gabby assured she wouldn't have to take the room she'd shared with her ex. He barely noticed the ocean views before he strode into the villa and began setting his things inside the bathroom he'd be sharing with his wife. He hesitated as he plugged in his electric shaver.
Wife?
How had he managed to move through life without acquiring one of those? With a sigh, he shook his head, looked past the title, and remembered what Gabby was. An acquisition to suit his needs for a short duration of time. Dark, lush hair, soulful eyes that displayed more emotion than she'd ever know. Wit and courage he hadn't expected. A body he'd coveted more than any Bible verse he'd ever read.
An acquisition, he reminded himself. Temporary. Sorry to interrupt.
Gabby stood on the other side of the door to the adjoining bedroom, a pair of high heels in her hands.
Dinner is at 6. Did you want to shower first?
Translation, I want to shower and you're in the bathroom.
You go ahead.
A genuine smile reached her eyes. Dinner is casual. You brought casual, right?
It's a tropical island. I didn't bring a suitcase full of suits.
Those dark eyes followed him as he exited the bathroom and she shut the door. When the water turned on, he imagined his naked wife, Gabby. Yeah, he should probably think of something else. He reached into the side pocket of his jacket and then patted his back pockets. Oh yeah, his cell phone was sitting in a hotel vault. Or worse, Gabby's brother was searching his contacts, perhaps messages. He tapped his fingers against his thigh. His phone had a password, he reminded himself. Hard to hack through a password. Or was it? The water from the shower turned off, and his brain raced from cell phones to skin. They had 4 nights on the island. 4. He'd been in more hostile environments than this. 4 days wasn't that long.
The shower's yours,
Gabby called from the other side of the villa. She'd taken the larger of the 2 rooms. The bathroom had 2 doors, one to the room she occupied, and the other to the rest of the apartment suite. He stepped into the bathroom. The steam raced against his skin, as did the scent of the floral soap Gabby used. The door to her room was cracked, and he caught a glimpse of her wrapped in a large bath towel as she padded around her suite. Bare shoulders and bare knees shouldn't make every part of his anatomy tighten, but they did. Feeling like a peeping pervert, he silently closed the door and shed his clothing. Cold showers and a warm climate. 4 days, he reminded himself. How hard could that be? Holy hell, 4 days? She emerged from her room in simple spaghetti-strapped silk that flowed over her curves and made them damn near invisible.
They weren't.
Gabby's hair was tossed into what appeared to be a mess on the top of her head, which he knew many women paid close to $200 to have done for them. Her makeup was minimal, a little gloss, a touch to her eyes. She didn't need it.
Do I have something on my face? She asked when she caught him staring.
He considered diverting his obvious gawking, then decided against it.
You're stunning.
The hand she'd brought to her face to wipe fictitious dirt away fell to her side, and Gabriella Mussini-Blackwell blushed. Before she could say a thing, he added,
This island has relaxed you already, and we've only been here 2 hours.
She looked at her feet, then out the massive glass doors that disappeared when opened.
It's hard to take in that view and not feel your heartbeat slow.
Only his sped, from his vantage point in any event. Hunter shoved one hand into the linen pocket of his pants and took a step forward. He offered his arm. Instead of taking it, she lifted her dark eyes to his.
We don't have to pretend affection here, she reminded him.
That burned.
You can't be stabbing me in the back when you're at my side, he told her. And right now, you're the only person on this island who tells me to my face to jump off a cliff.
A soft grin started to lift her lips.
You need assurance no one will push you to a splattering death?
He winced.
I'll stay clear of sharp edges.
He nudged his elbow her way a second time. She took it.
I like him.
Meg stood beside her mother-in-law and observed the newlyweds as Gabby introduced Hunter to one of the chefs who cornered them as they walked into the dining room.
How do you know if you like him? You just met him, Meg said.
First impressions are important. Gabriella walked off his plane with a smile on her face, one I haven't seen in some time.
That could be all Gabby and not Hunter.
Meg and Simona stood in front of their table, neither taking their seats.
Val can't stand the man.
Simona offered a snort.
Neither of them voiced what they both knew. Val had liked Alonzo, a fact that still haunted him. The couple broke away from the chef and headed toward them. Meg glanced around, wondering what was keeping Val. He'd been on the way down to the dining room when she'd agreed to walk Simona over. The resort's main dining room was lush with tropical floral arrangements and white linen. Several guests were already well into their meals, and many others were coming in for a formal meal. Meg and Val took a few meals a week in the main dining room. Simona insisted on torturing, or teaching, as the older woman put it, Meg to cook. If there was one thing Meg wasn't, it was a cook. She managed pasta for fear of an untimely death at the hands of her mother-in-law. The relentless woman never eased up on Meg's ability to cook a proper Italian meal. The only good news in the forced education narrowed down to the bottle of wine she polished off with every pasta from scratch lesson. Gabby kissed her mother when they arrived at the table. "It's like I never left."
"Then come home," Simona suggested.
Gabby glanced up at Hunter, then back to her mother. "Not yet, Mama," Simona grunted. The sound so familiar, Meg found herself laughing. She patted the space beside her. "You're sitting here, Mr. Blackwell. Gabby, on my other side." An amused grin fell over Hunter's face as he pulled out chairs. "I'm going to see what's keeping Val," Meg told them as she excused herself. She found him lingering outside the doors of the dining room, greeting some of the guests. The act wasn't new, but his timing was off. Val was, above all things, prompt. The same worry she'd seen etched between his eyes when he heard of his sister's marriage was tattooed there again. She slid her arm around his waist and wiggled into the brief conversation he was having. Val kept his tone even and wrapped an arm over her shoulders.
"I'm delighted you've enjoyed your stay."
"We're already planning our return trip, Mr. Mazzini." All pleasantries aside, the older couple moved inside. "Everyone is seated," Meg whispered. He grumbled. Not the grunt of his mother, but close.
"I don't like him, Cara. How am I going to manage to eat with him at my table?"
She squeezed the hand holding his waist. "One bite at a time. Come on, your mom already separated the two of them, and I'll sit next to Hunter to help buffer." Val kissed the top of her head and took her hand as they walked toward their party. Hunter stood briefly when Val pulled out Meg's chair. The gesture was normally reserved for those over the age of 50, or from lands well beyond the shores of the Florida Keys. Meg noticed an appreciative glance from Simona. Even Gabby glanced at her temporary husband and managed a glimpse of a smile.
"I haven't had time to truly settle, Val, but from what I can see, you have a spectacular island here."
The compliment, freely given by every guest, wasn't accepted as easily from Hunter Blackwell.
"It serves its purpose."
Meg placed a hand under the table to Val's knee. The man was a ball of tension. His jaw twitched. His eyes kept in line with Hunter without so much as a single blink. Meg diverted the conversation. "Tell me what's going on back in California," she said to Gabby. "It's quiet. Well, except for Jordan's condition." Meg knew Sam's sister wasn't healthy. "How's Sam doing?" "I haven't seen much of her," Gabby told her. "We've spoken a few times. Eliza has been by your side more than not." They discussed Sam's sister and broke the tension between the men, but didn't manage to lighten the mood at the table. The waiter arrived with two bottles of wine. Val proceeded to sample the wine and wave his hand in agreement.
"I've heard you're breaking into the oil business, Blackwell."
Hunter lifted the glass recently poured.
"I am. Pipelines, actually."
"With the country investing so much in solar, isn't oil a risk?" Meg asked. Val didn't give Hunter time to answer.
"Not really, Margaret. There's plenty of oil here. Just a lack of infrastructure to deliver it to refinery plants." "Do you invest?"
Hunter asked. Val shrugged. But Meg noticed her husband's thoughtful gaze.
"We're eating, Valentino. Business can wait."
Simona turned her direction toward Hunter.
"Tell me about your mother."
Hunter swallowed half his glass of wine in one gulp.
"I'd rather talk about oil."
For the first time since Hunter's arrival, Val chuckled. Simona offered a disapproving scowl but didn't pull Hunter back into a discussion about his family after Gabby quickly changed the subject. Later, once Hunter and Gabby both pleaded exhaustion after traveling in a busy week, Meg sat on the balcony veranda of their private home on the island. Meg stretched out on a double lounge, arms above her head, when Val emerged from inside. The sea lapped up on the shore, and the temperature, even in mid-November, was mild enough to lounge outside without more than a nightgown and a bathrobe. Meg patted the space beside her, inviting her husband. He'd shrugged out of his jacket and tie. Still, the starched shirt was there, but opened enough to display the sexy edge of a chiseled chest. With a heavy sigh, he tucked her into the safety of his arms. She didn't wait long to say what they were both thinking. "You're starting to like him," he grunted, just like his mom, and Meg had to stop from laughing out loud.
"He didn't want to speak of his family."
Meg shrugged. "Have you met mine? Not exactly mention-worthy."
Val kissed the top of her head.
"I don't want to like him, Bella."
"He's attentive to Gabby. The second she started to yawn, he made excuses."
"To get her alone?"
Meg shook her head and watched the slow speed of the moon dance over the cloudless sky. If he wanted her alone, he wouldn't have brought her here. Besides, there's nothing going on between them.
Not yet, anyway. "How can you tell?"
"Your sister is much more transparent than you give her credit for. And Hunter was way too tense for a man who's getting lucky." Val groaned again. This time Meg did giggle.
"Why must you make me think of my sister and sex?"
"She's a grown woman, Val. Chances are, the last experience she had was with that asshole Alonzo. Pity that." Meg noticed Val's eyes squeezed tight. She placed a hand on his chest and kneaded the muscles under her fingertips.
"I don't want to like the man. He's bullied my sister into marriage. I know it."
"Yeah, Meg thought the same thing. Still, he's clueless."
"He's a billionaire on his own accord. No family money to speak of."
"Still clueless. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have brought her here. She's safe here, even if she doesn't feel it yet. If Hunter Blackwell truly meant to harm your sister, this is the last place he would have taken her for a fake honeymoon."
"Unless she left him no choice."
Meg lifted her knee over Val's stretched out leg and inched it north. "If that's the case, then you need to give your sister credit. Blackwell is out of his league here." Meg inched her fingers under Val's shirt and rubbed the skin she found. "Enough about your sister and her husband." Meg caught Val's grunt with her lips and made him forget about everything but the two of them. Remington stood in the center of Miami International, plane ticket in his hand. The phone rang and rang. Finally, he heard Blackwell's voice. A recording. Fuck. He waited for the beep.
"Columbia sucks this time of year. I expect severance pay for this shit. Checking out account number one. We'll hit account number two soon."
He hesitated, then smiled.
"Italy sounds good. Better call me soon if you don't want me there. It's your dime."
Remington hung up, smiled. He loved his job.
Chapter 14. The calm waters held no break to speak of, so Gabby swam a good half a mile from shore before turning onto her back to float. The water was nourishment for her skin. The tang of salt water in her eyes, on her tongue, was the taste of home. She missed it. Her family's interference and constant questioning the night before had kept a smile on her face all evening and even into her dreams. The sun was still low on the horizon when she'd left the villa after the first decent night's sleep since she'd agreed to marry. Her husband was still sound asleep in his room. She let the quiet waters lull her as she floated. The pull of the sea inched her closer to shore. Water filled her ears, masking the sound around her. The sound of a gasp and several strong strokes against the water splashed, bringing her relaxed position in the water to high alert. She heard her name. Hunter swam her way, his arms and chest bare. Only when he was on her did his stunned expression alarm her.
"What happened?"
His hand gripped her arm, tight.
"Are you? Damn, you were still. I called your name."
Gabby kicked her feet, keeping herself afloat. "You thought..." His grip tightened.
"You didn't respond."
She moved her free hand to the one holding her. "I enjoy a morning swim." She looked around them. Besides, the sharks aren't on this side of the island, she teased.
That's not funny, Gabby.
He was worried, really alarmed.
I've spent many years of my life in these waters, Hunter. I'm fine.
I saw you floating.
She grinned. And you came out here to rescue me.
Hunter managed to stay afloat and cover his eyes with his hands.
You're killing me, lady.
You try to be such a tough guy, in control of everything.
He shook his head, offered a glare.
I thought you were shark meat out here.
She laughed, kicked her feet. Shark-infested island waters aren't a selling point to my brother's guests. For a moment, they swam in place and stared at each other. The clear water made her realize that Hunter had jumped in with only boxer shorts. On the shore, she noticed clothing carelessly heaped into a pile.
Are you a good swimmer? She asked.
I manage.
She started to move.
Last one to shore cooks breakfast.
She ducked under the water and came up to hear him sputter.
I don't go.
He gave chase, not letting the words finish.
Halfway to shore, he'd caught up, his arms stronger, his strokes taking the water and using it to propel him forward.
Still, her home court advantage helped keep her in the race, but Hunter managed to crawl up on the white sandy shore before she did. He sat with his arms resting on his knees, his lungs sucking in air. The gentle waves brought her on shore with some grace. She felt Hunter's eyes watching her as she pulled herself from the water. The bikini hadn't had much use since she'd left her brother's island. The fact that the strips of material didn't hug her curves as well as they once had was a testimony to the weight she'd lost. Putting it back on hadn't been a priority. Instead of dwelling on the condition of her frame, she sat next to Hunter and let the white sand take up residence on her skin.
Next time, I get a 2-second head start, she told him.
5,
he countered. His sharp gaze dipped to her chest and lingered. She couldn't help the fidget. When was the last time someone other than a doctor looked at her in as little as a bikini?
What would you cook me, if you'd lost?
He turned his attention away from her chest and back to her eyes.
Crepes. Maybe a Belgian waffle.
It was Gabby's turn to stare. His straight face and stoic delivery of menu choices had her stunned. Crepes? Even she had no real idea how to manage crepes. A ghost of a smile started at one corner of his lips and spread. For the first time since she'd met the man, that grin found his eyes.
If only you could see the shock in your eyes, he said.
Crepes?
He burst. A larger-than-life laugh erupted. She closed her eyes and envisioned Val's room service menu.
Gabby swept her hand along the sand, sending a plume of dust his way.
Hey.
He shot sand her way in retaliation. Can you cook anything for yourself?
Does coffee count?
She rolled her eyes.
Don't get mad, she told herself. Get even. If you want to get on my mother's good side, plead ignorance in the kitchen. She's a sucker for a helpless man in the kitchen.
Offering tips on making your family happy?
She leaned back on her elbows, mirroring his stance. We're in this for 18 months. Might as well find some peace.
Mmm.
She tilted her head toward the sun. Besides, I miss the island.
She caught him looking at her through the corner of his eyes. He diverted his gaze to the ocean.
I couldn't tell you the last time I sat in the sand.
Hard to sand sit when you're playing millionaire. He laughed. Sorry, billionaire.
It was hard to wrap her head around his net worth. Money had never been a primary need in her life. But then again, she'd always had it. She'd read his portfolio, knew he'd made the majority of his worth on his own.
1 more 0.
2 more. I crunched the numbers myself.
Hunter rolled onto his side, caught the side of his face in a sandy hand, and stared with amusement on his lips.
What numbers were those?
We can start with the Carlton takeover, the most profitable project to date.
The soft grin on his face slid. Sam suggested I dig a little deeper into that one. Seems there was much more to Blackwell Enterprises' merger with Carlton Ammunitions than what sat on the surface. His eyes drifted to the sand, where she noticed him drawing circles with his nearly dry fingers.
I was fresh out of college when we merged with Carlton.
Merged, and then imploded.
I didn't implode.
No, he halted sales of ammunition to many retail chains, and then manufactured and sold, nearly exclusively, to the government. Carlton held the majority of stock in the company to domestic sales. Only the government needed ammo, and the company took contracts from the U.S. of A., and domestic sales hit an all-time millennium bottom. Within 2 years, Blackwell bought out Carlton completely.
Carlton knew the risk. He didn't wager using his brain.
If not his brain, what? She honestly wanted to know. From the outside, it appeared Hunter knew the government contracts were coming and pounced on Carlton when sales were low.
He never wagered on the people losing their desire to own weapons. By the time the people made a run for ammo, there wasn't anything available for them to buy.
Because of your contracts with the government, it made sense now.
Blackwell isn't the only ammunition manufacturer.
His defensive tone made her pause. No, I suppose you're not. He frowned, kept drawing circles. Some took the shape of bullets. Do you sell to offshore buyers? He shrugged.
I'm not in daily contact with Blackwell Carlton Ammunitions.
Translation? Yes. Doesn't that bother you? He set his hand in the sand and caught her gaze.
Does your brother offer a vacation destination exclusively to Americans? Italians?
Her jaw dropped and she promptly closed it.
It's business, Gabby. Toyota sells to America, McDonald's sells in India.
We're not talking cars and burgers, we're talking bullets.
If the country is an ally, what's the problem?
Alonzo popped into her head. As much as she'd love to forget the man, she couldn't. An ally today can be an enemy tomorrow. He paused, waited for her to look his way.
I don't know the future of our world affairs any more than you do.
That was fair, she supposed. You still managed the merger right as the political winds shifted.
I read the papers. Carlton didn't. Sue me.
You rolled your millions like dice on a craps table. Pulled out of real estate months before the crash. You took less than a 5% hit with the stock market crash. He smiled.
4.62,
I know. Down to the penny, she thought. You were up 2.8 in 11 months. While everyone else was trying to keep their companies from capsizing, you thrived. She'd be impressed if she didn't wonder how. The numbers were there. What she couldn't find was all the backing behind them. Many folders were simple headings of names of countries and companies and languages she didn't know. Her mind shifted, thinking in numbers. You have offshore accounts. It wasn't a question.
I have a branch in London.
Not London. She waved in his direction, her head ticking. Of course, that would make sense. Money converted from more than two currencies lost weight by the time it met the U.S. Yeah, the government wanted its share. But how much could Blackwell hide before Uncle Sam caught on? Too bad Gabby hadn't followed this train of thought before meeting with Hunter the first time. Then again, what did it matter? He still had something on her. She'd be better off working on her own offshore accounts, the ones she knew very little about instead of the ones Hunter had.
What makes sense? He asked.
She settled her eyes on him, daring him to call her on what she was about to say. Your numbers don't mesh, Hunter. I know it. You know it. His hand stopped playing in the sand. His eyes didn't leave hers.
My accounts are legit.
Gabby pointed to her chest. We all have one thing we're good at, Hunter. Numbers are my thing. Yours aren't right. Yeah, you're worth more than most people can count, but there are discrepancies.
Discrepancies that would feed villages. My company has many legs. I wouldn't doubt there are a few thousand.
She laughed. Couldn't help the burst of noise from her throat. Don't insult me. His relaxed pose on the beach shifted to a sitting position, arms resting on his knees.
How are numbers your thing?
The question struck her as odd. They just are. That in languages. Well, not many languages, but she was working on expanding her foreign tongue.
How is it I don't know this about you?
There are many things you don't know about me, she told him. His eyes moved down her body, making her realize she wore next to nothing. He derailed her thoughts with only a look. Gabby closed her eyes and tried to keep her hands at her sides and not cover her bare midsection.
My numbers don't balance, and this is why Alliance rejected me?
Alliance has many levels one must pass. Everyone has financial secrets. That isn't a complete deterrent.
It's one. You believe my financial balance isn't zero.
It's way far from zero. But again, whose isn't?
Hunter glared now.
What else?
There are foreign meetings, men from questionable backgrounds. He nodded, as if her words meant nothing. And then there is the jerk factor. A lift to his lip was slow in coming.
The jerk factor.
Arrogant, egotistical, jerk. I think Meg would classify you as an asshole.
Meg?
She may not live in California, but she still works with and for Alliance. Hunter grinned, as if she'd just complimented him.
I'm an arrogant asshole whose billion-dollar company has divisions where the numbers don't balance.
When he said it like that, it sounded trite. You blackmailed me, she reminded him. He glanced around the empty beach. He lowered his voice.
I suppose there are things we both regret from our past.
She wasn't sure what to make of that. Yet here we are, married, both of us uneasy about the other.
I don't believe you'll kill me in my sleep, he told her.
She grinned.
You don't wear orange, remember?
He asked, a smirk playing on his lips. Orange is the new black.
Gabby and Meg sat with their heads together, their ears tuned into the noise drifting from the kitchen.
That's not right. Do it again.
I'm not a cook, Mrs. Massini, Hunter said for the umpteenth time in the last half an hour.
When Gabby had peeked into her mother's space, flour covered the entire counter and half the floor. A telltale sign that pasta was in progress, or at least a mix of flour and eggs. There was no guarantee anyone would be eating anything at this rate.
Crack the egg gently.
When Gabby's mom groaned, Meg started to giggle. I wish I had a camera set up in there. Meg stretched her neck in an attempt to see inside the mess.
Do it again.
Meg nudged Gabby's arm. How long are you going to let that continue? Gabby sat back, crossed her legs. I have nowhere I need to be.
No, 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 Simona lowered her tone. Pretend the egg is a fragile woman, not a twist-up on a beer.
Gabby and Meg held their breath and waited.
Better. Now, three more eggs.
Silence. Sigh. Silence.
Damn it.
Hunter's patience had to be at an end. Gabby pushed off the couch.
Distract my mother. You're going to rescue him? Meg asked. I did throw him in the dark waters of my mother's kitchen. I think he's learned his lesson. The two of them entered the kitchen at the same time. Meg instantly started to laugh. Hunter stood over the sink, his hands dripping with raw eggs and flour. Gabby's mother was scooping a mound of flour off the counter. Hunter snapped his eyes to Gabby, causing her to step back.
Maybe I should...
Help, her mother offered. This husband of yours is useless.
Meg pushed around Hunter, patted his arm with understood sympathy. Meg moved to Simona's side and nudged her away.
How about a break? Simona looked between the two women.
Don't you do it for him, Gabriella. He needs to learn.
Yes, Mama. Why don't you rest?
Gabby pushed the open bottle of wine in her mother's direction before Meg led her out of the kitchen. Gabby and Hunter were still until they heard the door to the outside patio open and close. Hunter's shoulders slumped.
Your mother is the kitchen Nazi.
It felt good to laugh. Hunter wasn't amused.
You set me up.
Gabby tossed her hands in the air. Guilty? Serves you right for pretending to be able to cook crepes. She found a clean apron and tied it around her waist. Hunter made to remove his, and she stopped him.
Not so fast, Wall Street. I told my mother I would help you, not do it for you.
I don't cook.
She stepped close and turned on the faucet to wash her hands.
Stop whining.
She wasn't sure exactly where her confidence came from. Maybe it was a mass of flour that covered the front of Hunter's apron and most of his shirt. Maybe the smudge on his cheek, the lock of hair drifting into his eyes. Or maybe seeing him completely out of his element empowered her. He untied his apron. She snapped a finger in his direction.
Put that back on.
Oh, God. The kitchen Nazi's spawn.
I can call my mother back in.
You're pushing me, Gabby.
She shrugged. What are you going to do? Divorce me? He moaned. Exactly. Besides, she found a clean, empty bowl. My mother won't let up until you master a few steps. His eyes followed her as she completed the mountain of flour and punched a fist-sized crater in the center for the raw eggs. Let me guess. She picked up an egg with one hand. My mother showed you like this. With a gentle crack, Gabby opened the shell and slid the egg into the flour with one hand and a tiny flourish of her wrist. Hunter sighed.
You make it look easy.
She smiled, moved close to his side, and handed over an egg. Use two hands and crack it into the bowl. That way you don't ruin what you've started if the shell decides it wants to be part of our dinner. He hit the side of the bowl too hard. The egg spilled on the counter, the shell in the bowl.
I look like a fool.
You look like you're trying too hard. She rinsed the bowl, retrieved another egg. Place your hands over mine. Hunter moved closer, the heat of his body seeping between them. Maybe this isn't a good idea. Digging for the confidence that was there a moment ago, she attempted to ignore Hunter's large shoulders and spicy scent. When his hands covered hers, dwarfing them instantly, she shuddered. Crack the egg. Slow and easy, she told him. His hands were a whisper above hers while she cracked and separated the shell from the yolk. Hunter didn't pull away when she moved to release the shell and dump the perfect egg into the flour. Attempting to ignore his silent presence and refusing to look into his face, she handed him an egg. She placed her hands over his. Gabby wasn't sure if Hunter hummed in concentration or something else. The something else was what kept her from looking directly at him. Slowly, she cautioned when he lifted his hands to crack the egg. The break was clean. That wasn't hard, was it? She asked, glancing at him as she removed her hands from his. The anger and frustration that had been there moments before was replaced with something much more dangerous. Her heart kicked hard in her chest, reminding her of forbidden feelings, dangerous desire. His full lips parted, capturing her attention. She caught herself staring. The silence in the room an open invitation for more than cooking. Neither of them moved forward or away. Maybe it was kitchen chemistry or a combination of nerves, but there was no mistaking the mutual attraction. Unwanted and completely forbidden attraction, but desire nonetheless.
What are we doing, Gabby?
Hunter's question was just above a whisper. She blinked, pulling her eyes away from his parted lips. Cooking? She put space between them, nearly knocking over the bowl with the eggs inside. They mixed with their hands and slowly turned the flour and eggs into dough. The air between them sparked with current. Hunter played with his section, his eyes on her hands. We will never eat if you can't concentrate, she told him. His hand stopped hers from pushing the heel of her palm into the dough.
I think we should talk about what's going on here.
She swallowed. We're cooking.
Gabby, look at me.
She shook her head, taking the coward's way out. If she noticed the lock of hair falling into his eyes a second time, she might have to push it back in place.
Gabriella.
The smooth texture of his voice was like chocolate on her tongue. His sticky hand tucked under her chin and forced her to meet his gaze. He stepped closer, his frame molding to hers and pressing her back against the counter. She couldn't breathe. His thumb traced her bottom lip.
This is a bad idea, he mumbled her thoughts.
She nodded. Very poor choice. Her hands gripped the side of the counter to keep from touching him. Hunter sucked in a deep breath.
You smell like flowers.
I'll change my shampoo. He started to dip his head and she kept talking. Something musky? So you won't notice me?
I don't think that's going to work.
He was close enough to catch the scent of mint on his breath. I don't even like you. One of her legs lifted and rubbed against one of his.
I don't trust you.
His hand moved from her lip to the side of her neck. You blackmailed me.
You tricked me into cooking with your mother.
She smiled. The two hardly compare. Instead of dropping his lips to hers, he detoured to the side of her neck and kept talking, his breath brushing her skin.
Have you met your mother?
That's so...
His lips found her neck. She moaned and closed her eyes. Such a deliciously bad idea. Her head fell back, giving him room to do whatever he wanted.
Well, well.
Meg's voice filled the silent kitchen. Gabby froze. Hunter's hand on her neck tightened.
Your mom is on her way back in. Guess it's a good thing I came in to warn you.
Heat swept up Gabby's throat.
It's not how it looks, she managed.
Meg simply laughed and left the room.
Chapter 15. Comfort food and wine. Lots and lots of wine. What the hell was he doing? The last thing he needed was to seduce his wife. Had he forgotten the terms of her contract? The part where a child conceived between them would cost him half of everything he'd worked for? Gabby sat across from him at the dinner table, picking at the food on her plate, food they'd managed to make together under the watchful eye of the kitchen Nazi. Meg kept a knowing smile on her face. Val appeared mildly irritated with the tension in the room. It was still midday, a strange time for a large meal, but Hunter ate anyway. The eating had more to do with the fact he'd actually cooked the food, and less to do with hunger. If anyone had told him he'd be cooking pasta from scratch at any time in his life, he would have wagered a six-figure sum against them. Who knew? Meg pushed her plate aside. Not bad for your first attempt.
My only attempt. One look at his mother-in-law, and Hunter kept his words to himself.
I don't think I'll be applying for a chef position anytime soon, he said instead.
The first smile from Val flashed on the other man's face.
Well, Mrs. Massini pushed away from the table. I need a nap.
When she stood, Hunter moved to help her. Her wrinkled and spotted hand patted his.
Thank you for teaching me something new, he told her. But let's not do it again any time soon.
It wasn't a real smile, more a smirk.
I'm not a young woman. My patience only holds for one lesson a month.
Good thing she lived an entire country away.
Gabriella, Mrs. Massini said, walk me to my room.
Gabby moved to her mother's side and took her arm. She offered a coy glance over her shoulder before walking away. Instead of burning under the microscope of Meg and Val, he said,
I'd like to make a few calls. All the phones on the island are operable.
Hunter was certain they were, and traceable, too.
My contacts are in my phone.
Val stood, retrieved his jacket.
You can use my office.
They walked into the heat of the Keys. Hunter followed Val to a golf cart, the only form of transportation on the island.
You survived my mother. I have to give you points for that, Blackwell. I didn't think you'd follow through.
They turned up a two-lane road to the main building on the island. The three-story structure held Val's office, rooms designed to hold staff that needed to sleep on the island. The long verandas swept around the building with massive windows that opened to a dining room and kitchens. The resort's swimming pools and spa were a hedge and greenbelt away. A nightclub and separate gathering halls completed the lower portions of the building.
Your mother didn't leave me much of a choice.
Val nodded.
She has her ways. Stubborn, much like your sister.
Val pulled to a stop and turned toward him.
It runs in the family. We have that in common, then. Once my mind is set on something, I seldom let down until I have it in my fingers. Like my sister.
Val's observation couldn't be closer to the truth.
My relationship with Gabby isn't the same.
There was a tick in Val's eye.
The last man I allowed to court my sister nearly killed her. You'll have to forgive my need to protect her.
Killed her? Wait.
Picano? A man I trusted. A man we all trusted. Even your mother.
Val looked away.
My mother never liked him.
Val muttered something in Italian.
I don't think she cares for you either.
Hunter wasn't so sure. He caught Simona close to a grin at least twice when he destroyed her kitchen.
Did Picano ever cook with your mother? Lord, no, she wouldn't have bothered.
Interesting. Yet she did with him. Hunter moved to leave the golf cart. Val stopped him.
Has Gabriella told you about Picano?
All the answers felt as if they were only a question away. So why was he hesitating?
Not everything.
Val opened his mouth and Hunter cut him off.
She will tell me when she's ready. For the first time in a long time,
I will wait for her to reveal the truth.
Val regarded him in silence.
You surprise me, Blackwell.
Hunter pushed out of the cart.
It probably won't last.
He thought of the question Blake had asked him and decided one question could be asked without learning too much about Gabby's past.
Who shot him?
Val hesitated.
Never mind.
What if it was Gabby? He shouldn't have asked.
I'll wait for Gabby to tell me. I don't think Gabby knows. She wasn't there when it happened.
Now he was confused. He thought,
I, however, was. You shot him?
Val shook his head.
If only I had a gun in my hand. No, I didn't have the pleasure. Between the Coast Guard, Neil, Rick, and my wife, there wasn't much left for me to take out.
Meg? Val's snarky blonde wife?
I see you have more questions than answers.
He did.
I've said this before, but I'm going to repeat myself. I won't hurt her, Valentino. You have my word?
Val shoved his hands in his pockets, the tick in his eye gone.
I'm holding you to that, he said.
Hunter offered a nod and followed Val to his office. When he was alone, he checked his messages. First was Tiffany. She muttered something about liking his wife and wondering if she still had a job on Monday. Hunter couldn't remember another time when a secretary had drunk too much at a cocktail party and spoken out of turn. Tiffany was a rare find. The second message was Andrew's.
You received a message. One you were expecting?
Damn, not good. The third message was from Remington. As the man rambled about Colombia and Italy,